agenda, but different action. Alcorn presented in the ITEC flood plan and animal assessment plan. ITEC is an acronym for International Trade Administration Commission. It's led by two commissioners, permanent commissioners. One is a chair, the one other one is deputy. And it's governed by ITEC. ITEC holds both in the Department of Economic Development Department and also the Trade and Industry Department. Trade and Industry deals with the day-to-day running of the implementation, including also pronouncements on tariffs and so forth, while the EDG is responsible for policy and oversight. But that oversight excludes issues around pronouncements on tariffs and so forth. Those are done by the Minister of Ministry. I'm not going to give an opportunity to the to Commissioner Tengiwe, who is currently the chair of commission. He will then account for other part-time chair commissions. What exactly are they doing? I can see your trust and also your presentation to mention an addition of the fact that you have experts, you've employed experts as a commissioner. What are the ladies using experts on? Let me say so. You can explain to us. And just the origins of the ITEC, because we have new members here who might not have that kind of information. So this must service both the workshop or an acclimatization kind of session coupled with the workshop. So way to introduce them. We have members of Economic Development Committee and also members of the Small Business Development Portfolio Committee. As you all know, that is the economic, the Small Business Development Portfolio Committee came as a result of the establishment of the new ministry on small business development, pronounced by the president in the SONA. They still finding themselves as obvious as expected, so they will need to know what exactly is this animal called small business development. So one way of finding out is from the website we've been doing. But I think international trade is one of the important aspects of that of any business, and I think there will be some action for that. So we will be with them for some time until the proclamation is fully absorbed and the department is fully structured and they understand exactly who they are. But until then, we will be with them, and they are so welcome to be with us. So I will request them for that each and every member introduce the team of itself, including the party they represent in the two committees. My name is Matilda Coleman, the chair representing I'm the chair of the committee. I will request the chair of the other committee, which is not in development, to introduce herself. and other policies.
I am not available. I try to put your conference more business in the world.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Mayor from Small Business Development. I'm representing AFC. Thank you, Chair.
UBAPEL is our whip in the Economic Development Control Committee. I know you tried to say that.
I'm from Pumala, in the Economic Development. I'm representing the ANC.
My name is Lo Ali Kean. I'm a member of the Forum on Economic Development, and I represent the African National Congress.
Shabama Mabasa, representing small business. A member of the Small Business Development.
Honorable Chair, I never thought I'd be so contented. Honorable member is afraid to say it, but my name is.
Chairperson, my name is Kovac Mare. I'm in the Economic Development Committee and I represent the VA.
Chair, I'm Patrick Atkinson, Economic Development Committee for the VA.
Okay, my name is Harold Kruger. I'm from the VA, representing the Small Business Development Committee, and I'm staying in the town for Kimalapeni.
My name is Toby Chance from the VA. I am on the Small Business Development Committee, resident in Johannesburg.
Anyone? No. Alright. Once more, the apology from our secretary who's not here, Ms. Kaka. And Ms. Jessica is standing in for you. Could you tell me why? Is the acting secretary? Or standing secretary. And then we have the content advisor here, who is Mabaso. Notice that you put Mabaso in. Alright, then we have another Kunene, the secretary of the Small Business Development. We have also members of the department, I think you know. I won't mention them about the retail department. We also have the PLO of Minister Zulu, Minister of Small Business Development, and then the PLO also of our Minister for Economic Development. We have our computer assistant. If you need anything for now, whether it's printing job, with the circulation of documents, so our computer assistant is there. Oh, I am born on. Oh, we look different than the other. Not to miss about. We look very different. Okay. I can see also our support staff, our support secretary, both for myself and the clique. I'm not sure if there's anyone from PMG.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. PMG was represented. Any media? No media, no? Okay. That's good. And but tell you, let me hand over to you. I think you know who is here now, no? Okay. I'm told that the new member, a member that came in from Small Business Development, we were just concluding the introduction. May you please give us the pleasure of knowing you, who you are, which part are you implementing?
Well, thanks, Chairman. My name is Trevor Elfas Mulaud. I'm a member of the Committee of Small Business Development, representing economic freedom fighters.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lovely. May we then hand over to Mr. Sandy West for both introduction and presentation. Thank you for the first time with this presentation time and also the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, maybe starting with the introduction, I'm Gabriel Atungi, Chief Commissioner for ISEC. I'm here with my colleague, Karina Yaka-Pantire. She's one of our senior managers in trade remedies. Honorable Chair, let me not waste time and both thanks to the presentation. The presentation, as you may see in the table of contents, covers the establishment of ITEC, our organizational structure, our core business unit, our mandate, the key strategic objectives of ITEC, our performance areas and the services. I'll also talk to the policy and legal framework within which we operate the ITEC, and then cover the three core functions, explaining them and probably speaking to the target for the various core functions. And lastly, I'll talk to the issue of judicial reviews. On the establishment of ITEC, let me start by saying that yes, trade across borders is good for growth. But to the extent that international trade results in imbalances and is unfair, it can have adverse effects on domestic production, investment and jobs. And this is where exactly as ITEC we come in, to contribute to international trade that is mutually beneficial and to enable fair trade. ITEC was established by an Act of Parliament which came into force in June 2003. The predecessors of ITEC are the Board of Tariffs and Trade and the Board of Trade and Industry that dates back to 1923. And so ITEC was established to streamline, rationalize and modernize an institution with a long history dating back to 1923. The commission is constituted of two full-time commissioners. At present we have the chief commissioner, the position of the deputy chief commissioner remains vacant, and we have 9 part-time commissioners. The commission really is a body of experts that meet monthly to evaluate investigations that would have been carried out by our investigative team, and it makes recommendations to the Minister of Trade and Industry.
our staff complement is 131. That covers both the core staff and the corporate services. As the Honorable Chair has already highlighted, we report to the two departments, Trade and Industry and Economic Development. Trade and Industry, we make the recommendations on the tariff investigations, trade remedies, the policy and the oversight remains with Economic Development. We have three core functions, tariff investigations, trade remedies, import and export control. As you can see, our members, we have the two reporting lines in terms of our organizational structure. We have two branches, corporate services and the core services, and the rest of the positions that fall under the two branches. The next slide is the structure of our core business units. Firstly, we have tariff investigations. I will explain later on what we mean by tariff investigations. Tariff investigations is divided into two units. The set units focusing on the sectors that are highlighted there, and tariff investigations two focusing on different sectors. And then we have two trade remedies units that manage three trade remedies instruments, anti-dumping, which is action against dumped imports, countervailing, which is action against subsidized imports, and safeguard. Those are measures against what we refer to as unforeseen surge of imports. And then lastly, we have an import and export control unit divided into the three sub-units, import control, export control, and the enforcement of import and export control regulations. The aim of ITEC is to foster economic growth and development in order to raise incomes and promote investment and employment within the customs union by establishing an efficient and effective system of administration. You can see our vision as well as our mission. We have three strategic objectives for the organization, which are to ensure appropriate contribution to employment, creating growth and development through provision of the international trade instruments, ensure strategic alignment and continued relevance with the Economic Development Department and the national agenda, and lastly, ensure organizational efficiency and effectiveness through our support functions. The slide you are seeing now is the snapshot of ITEC. Those are the key strategic objectives linked to the performance areas as well as our services. Of critical importance in this slide are the international trade instruments that we administer. And our preoccupation with regards to these instruments is the quality as well as the turnaround times. And so under current investigations, we have cases where we would be investigating increasing duties, reducing duties, and creating rebates. Under trade remedies, anti-dumping, countervailing, and safeguards, and then import and export control, the permits, and the enforcement. We also provide international trade technical advice in trade negotiations to the BTI, and so from time to time we form part and parcel of the trade delegations, but the lead department is BTI and the lead division is ITEC. And the advice that we provide has to do with provisions in these agreements that relate to the instruments that we administer, tariffs, the remedies, and import and export control measures. Honorable members, on the policy and legal framework, the National Development Plan provides a long-term vision with implementation driven through the new growth path, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, and the South African Trade Policy and Strategy Framework.
a new growth path, as you may be aware, honorable members, places employment creation at the center of economic policy. In light of the unacceptable high levels of unemployment, huge inequalities and poverty, the new growth path places job creation at the center of economic policy. Important with ITEC is the direction of trade policy and the sectors that have been prioritized for job creation, that is, the job drivers. The new growth path advocates a developmental approach to trade policy. It does so consistent with the trade policy framework as well as the industrial policy action plan. Both the trade policy framework and the industrial policy action plan depart from the premise that for sustained growth and development, South Africa cannot rely solely on commodities, that is the exploitation of the raw materials. There is a pressing need for further diversification. In this connection, the new growth path calls for the promotion of exports of value-added manufacturing. This has tariff policy implications for us, in the sense that what it means is import tariffs downstream, that is on value-added and labor-intensive sectors, will be retained, and in some instances, those tariffs will be raised. However, tariffs on the mature capital-intensive sectors, that is upstream, may be reduced to lower the intermediate input cost for downstream manufacturers. The new growth path also calls for us placing conditionalities when we provide support to our domestic industries, what we call reciprocal commitments. The commitments that industries would make when we give them support in relation to production, investment, and employment creation. These conditionalities we would assess after having given support and having allowed the support to stay for a specific period of time. The approach that we take on tariff setting is pragmatic, evidence-based, and is informed by peculiarity of each sector. We have in the past done reviews of tariffs upstream with regard to steel products like steel, aluminium, textiles, and primary chemicals, including polymers used in plastic products. So, honorable members, there is no uniform or one-size-fits-all approach. We set tariffs on a case-by-case basis based on evidence and informed by industrial policy. Continuing with our policy and legal framework, the aspects of that have been singled out in the new growth path. And I just want to share with you specifically what is it that ITEC does in relation to these sectors. Firstly, with regards to the government infrastructure program, there is an opportunity there that new industries may emerge to supply inputs, components into infrastructure development, which may require developmental tariffs, and therefore, in a way, reducing imports of inputs and components that would go into those infrastructure programs, and so contributing to local content. We have done analysis of the tariff structure for the green goods, and this would include solar, wind, energy goods, batteries for electric vehicles, machinery and equipment for waste management. And what we found is that where we have production capacity, already there are duties in place. With regards to agriculture, our approach is that this sector is quite unique compared to the industrial goods sector because of the global distortions that characterize agriculture as a result of the agriculture policies, in particular of the advanced economies, where they give new support and subsidies to the farmers. And so when we set targets, we also take into consideration these global distortions, because the subsidies and various support measures for farmers in developed countries have an effect of resulting in overcapacity and oversupply, which end up depressing the world prices. And so that becomes a price disadvantage for our domestic farmers and processors. And so we use tariffs to give them that price competitiveness so that they are profitable. And when we do so, the overall objective is food security. And so it's not just about ensuring that farmers and processors are profitable, but also we have sensitive prices that consumers will pay on food, in particular the poor. With regards to the mining value chain, we have positioned our export controls in a manner that gives support to the BTI, DVD, and mineral resources to promote local beneficiation. You may be aware, honorable members, that recently we imposed export restrictions on scrap metal, which served to ensure that our local processors, the foundries, smelters, have access to high quality and affordable scrap as an important raw material. And lastly, on manufacturing, which is quite central in terms of the industrial and policy action plan, we are giving support downstream to value-added and labor-intensive sectors that are manufacturing both for the domestic market and export. Honourable members, the legal environment in which we operate is such that in the execution of our mandates, in carrying out the investigations, it's important that we comply to domestic law. And in the main, the International Trade Administration Act, the Customs and Excise Act, our regulations for the various instruments, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, and the Constitution. And we comply to domestic law in a manner that is also consistent to the multilateral rules under the WTO, of which South Africa is signatory. In terms of domestic law, there is a particular procedure that we must follow as an institution, and also what we do must pass the test of reasonableness and rationality in terms of the various substantive aspects of the work that we do. And I must say that, honorable members, it is in this area where the arguments arise between us and interested parties that at times lands us in court. We also have regional trade agreements, SAFU and SADC, that we must observe in carrying out our work. With regard to regional integration, there is now a shift from the reduction of tariffs towards infrastructure development in the region, industrial capacity, value chains in the region, as well as trade facilitation. Also, honorable members, with regard to the bilateral agreements that we have with the EU, EFTA, and Mercosur, we must, when conducting the investigations, observe our obligations under these bilateral agreements. We could, for example, not increase duties against the European Union on a recent investigation that has been in the media that you might be aware of on chicken because of the South Africa EU agreement. And lately, we have now initiated and imposed anti-dumping duties with regard to imports originating from three countries in the EU, chicken, frozen chicken imports, that is the UK, Netherlands, and Germany. In this slide, we are just sharing with honorable members some of the examples of factors that we've investigated in the past. Arising from the from the industrial policy action plan, we had to reduce utilities on selected upstream industries, including chemicals, aluminium, selected textiles. The reviews led to a reduction in utilities to zero, so that these intermediate inputs could be accessed downstream at internationally competitive prices, that is reducing the cost of production for high value addition and labor intensive sectors. We also have selected tariff increases on finished goods. These would include clothing, power pylons, set-top boxes, kitchen sinks, and windscreens. We also had increases in tariffs in some of the agricultural products, including chicken meat, wheat, sugar, pasta, and mussels. We have also created 3 days of duty on a number of products, including fabric for home textiles, pineapples due to a shortage, due to contamination of the soil in the Eastern Cape. Chair, the point we are making by sharing with you these examples is that in the developmental approach or strategic approach to tariff setting, you will have cases where you reduce tariffs, and you will have cases where you increase tariffs, and in some cases, you would create a rebate, which is a temporary waiver of the duty. Our approach to tariff setting, therefore, is neither a rigid blanket increase of tariffs or a rigid blanket reduction. Tariffs are instruments of industrial policy and are determined based on peculiarities of each industry or sector. And so we follow an evidence-based approach, case by case. The focus really is on the outcomes. As a result of our interventions, there must be increased domestic production, investment, job retention, and creation, as well as promoting international competitiveness. What you are seeing, honorable members, is the procedure that we follow for conducting tariff investigations. At times, the environment that we operate in is misunderstood, and the misunderstanding arises from not being aware of the procedure that, as an institution, we have to follow in these investigations. In tariff investigations, which are your ordinary customs duties, what in WTO language is referred to as most favored nation rates, where countries are allowed to increase duties but not beyond the binding commitments that they have made under the WTO. And so we will start with receiving an application from a domestic industry that is struggling to compete with imports. We would then prepare a preliminary submission for the Commission. The Commission would make a preliminary determination. After that, we would make a public notice inviting all interested parties to make their comments and submissions. From there, the Commission would make the final evaluation and final determination. And then the recommendation would be forwarded to the Minister of Trade and Industry. It's the Minister of Trade and Industry who makes the decision, upon which the Minister of Trade and Industry would request the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Finance being the custodian of the Customs and Excise Act, to implement through FAR. We used to take 12 months to complete these investigations, but we were requested around the period of the financial crisis to shorten this time period to 6 months. It's been quite tough for us, but it's doable. In the past, with regards to our targets to the performance plan, we used to target the number of investigations to be conducted. And what we realized is that this did not make much sense, as the number of investigations are dependent on applications received, something that we don't have control over. And we now use the turnaround times, which is our target is 85% of the final decisions should be made within 6 months of initiation. And again, as I've indicated, it's quite a challenge. We are struggling at least to meet the 85%, due to some of the cases that get complicated by, amongst other things, a request for extensions by interested parties who want to make submissions. We also have oral hearings. At times we got to deal with a threat of court action and upfront court challenges. There are three trade remedy instruments that are an exception to the WTO principle of reducing and eliminating import tariffs. These are completely different instruments from the ordinary customs duties. They are meant to enable fair trade, in particular the anti-dumping and the countervailing. And out of these three instruments, the one that is used most is the anti-dumping. But lately we are seeing an interest also on safeguards. In short, anti-dumping measures are taken against injurious dump imports. Dumping is used to refer to a situation where goods are sold to a foreign market at prices less than the country of origin. So unlike the everyday use of the word dumping, the dumping of inferior goods or waste, what we are referring to here is exporting goods at prices less than you are selling in your domestic market. The countervailing measures are used against subsidized imports that threaten or cause injury. By injury, we mean a negative effect on a number of economic and financial sectors, decreases in prices, loss of market share, decrease in profits, decrease in trade volume, job losses by domestic producers. And lastly, safeguards are actions against trade that may be regarded as fair but overwhelm domestic producers. And so safeguards are used against unforeseen surge of imports that cause injury to the domestic producer. These instruments, honorable members, are very difficult to make use of because they are exceptions in the WTO, and the WTO has set the rules under which these instruments may be used. Now, just to explain the instruments that mostly used further the anti-dumping actions. Again, we say dumping is the selling of goods at lower price in the export market than the domestic market. It's not an uncommon business practice, and it's not evil as such. Firms engage in this geographical price discrimination to maximize profits. The problem arises when that dumping causes injury to domestic manufacturers. That's when countries are entitled in terms of the WTO agreement to act when there is injury. Since dumping is regarded as unfair trade practice, the WTO agreement sets out the rules for acting against dumping that causes injury. And South Africa is an old and active user of the instrument, with the first law on anti-dumping having been enacted in 1914. In the next slide, honorable members, we are showing the anti-dumping measures that are in place as at the end of last year. You can see we have the country that is acted against, we have the specific products, we have the particular firms that we give in support. As you can see, honorable members, the country that is most acted against is China. And that is not surprising. Our fiercest price competition is from China. And you can see the list of products, quite interesting list. Blankets, bolts and nuts, garlic, stainless steel, untrained mirrors, spades, shovels, rakes, and so on. And then you have the other countries that we have anti-dumping duties against. The percentage of trade that is covered by these measures does not even make up 1% of our trade, that is 1% of our imports. But of course, when we act in a particular sector, that has a huge impact in that sector. The procedure for conducting anti-dumping investigations is much more technical and complex than the ordinary customs duties. It starts with a properly documented application, an application that must meet the standards in terms of our domestic regulations as well as the WTO agreement. From there, we would verify the information, present that to the Commission for a merit decision. Once the Commission finds merit in the case, there will be a notification of the initiation of the investigation, which then allows foreign producers and exporters, as well as domestic importers, to make their comments. We would then do verification of those firms that have responded. These would be verifications in the various countries that we would be acting against. And then from there, we would have the Commission making a preliminary decision. We would publish again the preliminary decision, but if the finding is positive, there will be an imposition of anti-dumping duties that are no official. This is meant to have further injury while the investigation continues. Once there have been comments and submissions on the preliminary report, we would then present to the Commission for a final decision, after which the Commission will make a recommendation to the Minister of Trade and Industry. We have reduced our turnaround time also with regards to remedies from 12 to 10 months. On the next slide, we show the trade remedies targets. The targets that have been set for trade remedies are 85% of the preliminary determination should be completed within 6 months of initiation, and 85% of final determination should be completed within 10 months of initiation. I must say, honorable members, we compare relatively well with other jurisdictions, other authorities, ITEC counterparts. With us it's 10 months, the US 9 months, EU 14, Canada 7 months, India, Brazil 5 months. The only outlier is Australia, and this has to do with their unique domestic regulation on remedies. And then our last core function, honorable members, is import and export control. Firstly, on import controls, these are controls based on a selected number of new and second-hand goods. And so before you can import these goods, you must obtain a permit from ITEC, and the permit application must be in line with the said regulations. The objective really is to enforce health, safety, environmental, and technical standards that arise from domestic law and international agreements. We have about 247 tariff lines where we have these import controls, out of tariff lines in our tariff book of around 6,500. So it's quite selected and few products. And we administer import controls in partnership with the relevant government departments, health, safety, environment, etc. And the examples of new goods that would be under import control would be your dangerous chemicals, your tires, fossil fuels, arms and ammunition. And with regard to second-hand goods that are under import restrictions, those would include second-hand clothing, second-hand motor vehicles, equipment, waste and scrap, aircraft, etc. On export control, that is restrictions on goods exported, we have similar objectives, health, safety, environmental, technical, as well as for strategic reasons, if one looks at the restrictions with place on scrap metal. It's our 177 tariff lines that are under export control. And some of the examples would include minerals, including the tiger's eye. This is not the real tiger, honorable members. There's a precious stone known as the tiger eye. And then we have raw materials, waste and scrap. As already said, we have recently impose restrictions on flat matter. The second hand motor vehicles, and we also have the export control in line with our international agreements that are cited in the slide. And lastly, we do conduct selective inspections on what is imported to ensure that permit holders export what they had specifically applied for. That is the enforcement of the regulation. The target we set for ourselves under import control, these are an export control, these are targets that are based on historical patterns. It's the number of import control permits, the export control permits, the number of scheduled inspections and unscheduled inspections, and the number of import and export control investigations. Honorable members, on the last slide, we just want to share with you some of the core challenges that we face and how we are dealing with them. The reality with our work is that in terms of the outcome of our investigation, there will always be an unhappy party. It therefore depends on where a particular company is located in the value chain. Let's take an example of the wheat value chain. You have wheat farmers, you have the millers, you have the processors, bakeries, you have retailers and the consumers. And you imagine that once you receive an application to increase tariffs on wheat from wheat farmers, the millers will definitely oppose that. And so the outcome of our investigations are such that there are those who stand to win in the value chain and there are those who stand to lose. And the allegations that you may see at times in the media about how you would have conducted a particular investigation. The stakes are very high in this investigation. They ultimately impact on the bottom line of businesses as well as their share prices. In the Dixon case, it's been the Association of Meat Importers against the South African Poultry Association, and it's been a very tough contest. The besides the litigation in our domestic courts, if there is a country that is unhappy with the outcomes of our investigation, thinks that we violated WTO rules, that country is at liberty to take us to the WTO for dispute settlement. With regards to litigation in other jurisdictions, what we think is that this is not something unique to us. Other jurisdictions are faced with the same challenge, but maybe in varying degrees. South Africa is increasingly becoming litigious. With regards to the court cases, since ICEP was established in 2003, we have appeared 24 times in court, that is High Court, Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court. And out of the 24 cases, 16 were in favor of ICEP and 8 against ICEP. And most of these that were against ICEP were in the early days of the establishment of the institution. And so over time, we have done relatively well. And the key thing really is compliance with regards to the procedure as well as substantive issues and thorough preparation for court cases. Thank you very much.
That's the presentation from ICEP. I think members should feel free to ask questions. I'm not going to restrict this to a particular area of focus. You can jump from one area to the other. But please be with me. Thank you very much. I'm noting.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chen, Mr. Atkinson, I
in that order. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, Commissioner, for the presentation. Much appreciated. When making the presentation, I thought it must be sometimes very difficult for you. You must, you know, be used to working, you know, dealing with persons with split personalities. Because you, you know, you reported the Minister of Trade and Industry in terms of decision making about tariffs, but policies and then principles to the Minister of Economic Development, and then in terms of the implementation on tariffs on the point of entry on the borders, it is customs and even sometimes home affairs. So it may sometimes be very difficult for you guys to have a lot of empathy for that. But that be as it may be, I want to point out specifically on issues like, for instance, scrap metal. You have indicated that there is a lot of certain categories of duties and countervailing and all the measures that you have. But it doesn't seem like it's successful, because if you look at the theft of copper and cables and substations and everything, it seems like that business is just flourishing. So somehow I think that a major role to play, not in terms of the of supporting trade, but also preventing crime in this regard, which I think the crime is costing the government a lot more than I think, you know, maybe the success that we are seeing. So how can ITAC play a much bigger role? And is it possible, you know, in terms of preventing it or you may use the term, you know, not supporting that. Then on your terror investigation target, and also the other target is the other target that you set, is that the head remedies. Can you give us an indication of your actual achievements regarding those targets? Because setting the target is one thing, but, you know, looking at what happens in reality. Then also, I want to ask you about when you, that examples that you mentioned where sector investigations have taken place, and I'm looking at a strategic partnership with BRICS countries. Is there a specific relationship with BRICS countries or a formation between BRICS, seeing that China seems to be our biggest problem in terms of investigations? How do you approach, you know, the benefits for the BRIC relationship or the formation versus that sort of, you know, the importance of protecting local businesses and local industries? Chairperson, I'm going to stop for at the moment there, but I'm certainly going to, I've got some new, some other questions as well, or would you like me to finish my questions?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Yes, you're a real balancing act here, it appears, in many competing interests. But one thing that I didn't see in your presentation in terms of the mandate described for you is the role of the consumer. In other words, it seems to be very much supply-driven, you know, relating to producers' interests in terms of the mandate to, you know, create economic growth and job opportunities. But where does the issue of consumer choice and price come into the picture? Because, you know, one of the things that the chicken debate has been about is the price of chicken going up because of producers protecting local producers, as opposed to the interest of the consumer who wants to buy product at the cheapest possible price. So I'd like to know whether that broad issue is somewhere contained in your mandate, even though you didn't describe it just now, and how you make a call on a tariff imposition if there could be some medium or even long-term impact on consumer price as well as consumer choice resulting from proper price increases from those tariffs. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you, Commissioner, for your presentation. Commissioner, just referring you to the side of the anti-dumping measures as of 31st December 2013, my question to you on this is, would this not really a means of supporting efficiencies in the South African market? I look particularly at the situation of small metals, who have obviously interdicted the sale or have actually interdicted the sale of wire ropes. And I think across four or five different countries, across the UK, across Korea, across Germany, across China. The score seems to have a problem with the cost of wire ropes coming into the country. Would you investigate the situation and see whether the score is actually doing a correct pricing in front of the market? Maybe the price is a little bit inflated and that they're using this as a protection measure to basically increase efficiency in the local market. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Robin Barker will be followed by the patron.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Commissioner, my question is in relation to the deal. During the 2010 World Cup, in fact, 3 years before that, there was a lot of activity in the industry players on the manipulation of prices, both steel corporations inside the country and also international steel corporations that were interested in selling into the South African market during that period to assist our construction and infrastructure program. Now, I just need me to understand to what extent did you, as a commission, to what extent did you try to establish standards? I would imagine, for instance, the local players might have had some objections. In particular, knowing that our very own former ISCO is now Mittal, and they are arrogantly pulling everyone around the international, including ourselves, and there was a major player in particular around selling into the African market, that we are anyway a hoist handed in Mittal before international registration in the London Stock Exchange. I just want to know that case, because these are some of the things that led to scrupulous prices of bidding and so on and so on that we now have witnessed in some of the other commissions. Thank you.
Thanks, thank you very much, Commissioner, for your presentation. It's very straightforward. I think it is interesting for you to touch on some of those factors that are in the court in process. Even if you don't discuss all the cases, some of the key cases that you are involved in, also needs to know if you continue to, if those road particle companies that are in the court continue to operate freely during the period and so on. Where I'm also just interested to understand the environment around the, your relationship between ISAC and regular institutions, that you start the relationship, for instance, with the WCO, in terms of understanding all the agreement and the implementation thereof. Is this a useful, environment, a friendly environment in which you are able to operate free, or are there many constraints? And I said, how is it regarded, particularly in the subject region, from your own experience, how is it regarded in neighboring countries, Zimbabwe and others? What level of operation do you get?
that. But those seem to be the questions for now. I think we better mention this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Okay, thank you. Dr. Tanya, you should be letting me talk to you. Correct. It should be, you have a mild patient for the nation, the 4 months for the nation. And then now you are very much open. Yes, your turnaround time has been questioned before. Never admit to any challenge in the number of own bodies within the institution. I'd rather you mention the general person. That's what to do with the issues as you mentioned even again to this. Whether these are issues, whether the, when I say these are issues and litigation against you. And other issues that are related to time and not mistake and so forth. But I just want to know whether you feel today that if the people that you have currently, you have what it takes to can run the ship, especially between the challenges of the success that you currently, and with more present challenges that are to confront you in relation to developing new industry points which will give more pressure to you, especially as we import and also develop the industries and having new role players within the market. That is going to be tougher, I guess, especially with the speed at which you feel you need to move. Do you feel that you have what it takes to take on all these issues?
Yeah.
I can see that you still have the Deputy Chief Commissioner vacant. Can we understand what are the issues there? Because I thought that somewhere on any detail that there when you were told that the minister was about to affirm. What are the issues? Can you perhaps share with us the issues behind the imposition of increased tariffs for these three countries related to issues. What are the actual issues so that we can be able to understand those issues? Because normally we hear from the media that there are those issues, especially if it relates to the big countries. Mainly I think it's because we are so much closer related to them. But when it comes to this European Union country, it's not no other value of us. What are the reasons and why is there some silence around it? What are the main issues so that we can all be captured as to that? The something I need to understand, I think we've been trying to understand for the past 5 years now, I think maybe this time of the year. You have numbers inserted in the structure of your of the procedure of conducting a tariff investigation. What do those numbers represent? Besides, the process of procedure here, from the speaker publication, properly documenting application, preliminary submission. I just want to know, you received this application, maybe the first question around tariff investigation, but it will, the same question will arise also when when I did with the thrasher also of on the procedure for collecting the unfriended information. I just want to find out here, the receipt of application, do you always wait for applications to come? Don't you do voluntary, your own investigation? Can't you, for instance, initiate any investigation so that you don't have to wait for people to come to you to that, or you need a structure, you need a new structure for in the department, in your institution for you to do, to be able to do that? But then I believe that might even reduce some of the burden or difficulty, especially among our small businesses, in filling in those complicated forms or application forms that they have to. And then how often do this subcommittee? Or how often do they meet? Because they are very crucial in really looking into and making preliminary determinations in terms of those investigations. And perhaps the turnaround time of for those determinations. I want to test that against between the 12 to 6 months turnaround time that you mentioned. I mean, it's quite a good, but then you're saying you still face some challenges in making the six months turnaround time. I want to, while I'm asking the question, I just want to determine what is the actual challenge here, and why are you not coming out here? Because if it's really about the issues that we're raising and not really about the capacity within the institution, that's something else. What is it that can be done policy-wise to ensure that we assist you in bringing up the process for the institution? Because the most important thing is for the outcome. And what's the purpose of gazetting? I had a similar question like the one that was asked by Mr. Chan. The role of consumers in the whole process. Because I thought when you gazette, that's when you allow everybody to, to give an input. But then what is ITEC's role in ensuring that you also take consumers and view this consideration before you make final determination? Or before you actually recommend to the minister your determination. How do you work with the relationship with the Competition Commission? Okay, and where do you collaborate or cooperate on which issues, for instance? Mr. Maria asked whether you can also play the police role. Well, I have my view on that. I will not say anything around that, but I'm just asking them about your relationship with them and the relationship with the customs, the treasury, customs, and what do you mean, sir? The customs unit within the treasury. Is it there?
I'm
sorry. Is that sir, yes, yes. Yes, sir. That is under. Yes. That's the question I'm asking. So that's the issue for Minister who makes determination. Minister of Finance. Okay. I just want to speak. And then last time you asked questions related to SACO, your role as an administrator. At a time frame, I mean, we had challenges last time of struggling for instance. All these dependencies on that paper. We had countries that did not want to cooperate and to finance and not be taken. What is the situation? How is the relationship with these parties? Are we making any moves in terms of trying to deal with this issue of the regional cooperation that we've been talking about? I mean, right now we have as a country, we are beginning also to help if the challenges around the regulations between the different economic communities within Africa. What is it that SACU can do to ensure, South Africa can do to ensure that at least member states of SACU also collaborate and cooperate? I think that's to us, from the point of view, is very important. Can we be assisted in that fight so that we can know where we stand and where we can assist in recommending a better solution?
Okay. Can I just ask the other two questions that I've had just to do with SACU? I wonder just, well, you've mentioned SACU, whether I can put those two questions and maybe it can be dealt with simultaneously.
Do so.
Okay.
Don't get used to
talking after. Okay. I'll do so.
Commissioner,
the problem in the past with regards to SACU was they got tax-free imports via South Africa, but then there was problems of goods and services migrating from them into South Africa, and that relates to unfair competition and also not taxes being collected. Again, that brings to the relationship with SACU, and to what extent is that being addressed? The other points on that page 15 that to a certain extent deal with normal business competitiveness within a region where you're talking about dumping and anti-dumping actions, you say firms engage in geographical price discrimination to maximize profits. Now it sounds like a normal business practice to me, and obviously how does that differ from ordinary business principles of optimizing or maximizing your profits, so I really don't understand that portion that you have mentioned there and how it relates to software and this subject. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to share the questions with my colleague Karma. Karma is member of the target on trade remedies. The question on score on the wire ropes, as well as the question on the movement of goods within SACU. Honorable Mali, you raised a question of a serious problem of copper theft, cut metal theft. Within that, the restrictions we have placed on the export of cut metal, because it has the effect of reducing the price of scrap, because when exported, the international prices are quite good, especially the Asian countries. They are very hungry for our scrap metal. We think that when those prices go down, they will have some effect in discouraging the theft, because the prices will be lower. But ultimately, the theft is a criminal matter. It falls outside of scope. It's within the scope of the South African Police Service. The question raised on us have to do a balancing act in terms of the competing interests. That is very true. There is nothing in the mandate of ITEF that speaks to consumers. However, in terms of our tariff policy, we do consider the price raising effects of increasing customs business. And so in each and every investigation, we would make a price index to gauge what the price effect would be. It might just be an intermediate good, the price that might then be passed on to a finished goods manufacturer, which might not be passed on to the consumer. Let me make an example with regards to the recent investigation on chicken. The South African Poultry Association requested very high tariffs, but in terms of the investigation that we conducted, we had to disaggregate the various meat types, the carcasses, boneless cuts, offal, bone-in portions, and what you find is that there are meat types that would be consumed by the high end of the market. Their tariffs were increased significantly, but not to the level that were required by the poultry association. We had to find an appropriate level wherein the impact would not be as huge as it would have been if we would have given in to the request from SAPA and KIF. And then we would have carcasses and offer. The increases were very marginal because those are products that largely are consumed by the poor. And so yes, there is always this challenging balancing act that we do. The overall objective in agriculture is food security. So you've got to balance the profitability of farmers and processors with the affordability by the consumer. And so that's always a challenge in these investigations. With regards to the key cases, I have a list of the court cases here, and if I may mention the parties, it's basically specific firms that have taken us to court. Progress Office Machine, Alvarez, ADL, Association of Electric Cable Manufacturers, Degusa, SCOR, Air Enterprise, and these are court cases that have been finalized. We just have now, I think, two to three cases, one on scrap metal that is outstanding, and one on second-hand goods with forklift trucks. The relationship that we have with SADC and SAGU and the WTO. In terms of the WTO, we are signatories of the WTO agreement, and there we have binding commitments that we have made on tariffs. We cannot increase tariffs beyond the binding commitments that we have made under the WTO. We also have the agreement on trade remedies. We cannot conduct our investigations on trade remedies outside the rules that are set out in those agreements. So that is the relationship that we have with the WTO. And if we violate the agreement, countries are entitled to take us for WTO disputes settlement. With regard to SAFU, within SAFU is a customs union. The key features are a free movement of goods within the union and a common external tariff. Karina will speak more on some of the challenges within SAFU. But the biggest challenge within SAFU, as you have also raised the question there, is the full implementation of the SAFU agreement, which includes, among other things, the establishment of SAFU institutions that is responsible for defining definition of tariff policy and setting of tariffs. Currently, we have ICAC mandated by the SAFU Council of Ministers to continue to do investigations on behalf of the whole of SAFU. And so the tariffs that are decided by our minister, imposed by SAFU, they apply to the union. not just South Africa. Until such time that the Kwaku institution, that is the Kwaku Tari board and national bodies within the various member states, Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland and Namibia, until you have those in place, ICEC continues to do investigations that are SAFU-wide. For the first time, we were requested to do an anti-dumping investigation for Botswana against dumping of Oxford ash from the USA. An investigation that we conducted and completed successfully. So the ash carina is an input that is used in glass manufacturing. It should be a granular type of product. It is imported in the name by South African companies, including Consul, from the USA. But then the producers of soda ash in Botswana lodged a complaint that they could not compete with the prices at which soda ash was coming in from the USA. And therefore, their market share in South Africa was taken from them by the American producers and exporters. And so, not only are we doing investigations of peers,
we want to understand the capacity of Botswana in producing and also supplying soda ash. This has been what the demand that South Africa has. I think it's very important so that we don't just dismiss and then we have to understand also the some of those difficulties.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in a normal customs duty investigation tariff, one of the major issues that the Commission would look at obviously would be capacity. You don't want to assess or protect necessarily a firm that can only supply a very small amount of the market without potential for it to increase. By imposing a duty and therefore the downstream users will carry the cost whilst this industry does not have the capacity or the potential to develop to gain the capacity. In unfair trade remedies like anti-dumping, that plays, I would say, a smaller role. The argument being that you are not really protecting industry, you are merely raising the prices so that it becomes fair trade. Because it's an unfair trade element, so once you've found that dumping is taking place, what you are saying is, I'm not going to punish the practice, I'm not going to impose a duty that is in excess of what is needed to just make it equal to the domestic price. So the consumer or the downstream user has a choice whether to buy the local product or the imported product at the same price. So then the volume that can be produced likely becomes a lesser factor because you control imports. We're not preventing imports by imposing a duty. We are just saying you have to bring your price to a fair level. In China particularly, they can supply total demand that they eat at the moment. Their problem was not that they couldn't supply the volume at the price. They could not supply at the prices that the Americans were exporting. And the margins that we found was around 160 to 200% dumping margin, which means they are exporting at around 160 to 160% less than what they're selling for in the US.
Why is it so? Because we understand from China mass production issues or whatever, but why would America, for instance, produce? reach a lot of folks and people. This is an interesting one. Colleagues, I just wanted to find out, you know, because just to understand the reason behind the action by America, because we just want to know whether it is deregulation, and if it is, then what is the role of ISIC for SACO in this regard? So that we are able then to differentiate between the normal administration issue and the other issues that are related to demoralizing the local or the African businesses or regional businesses. The actual mass production. We have a partner where we can give it down to in Africa. That's what the system is going to be able to ascertain.
There are different reasons why something takes place. I think if it's a subsidy, then you know it's a government-to-government issue. It's a government that's subsidizing a producer. But to dumping, it's a particular industry or a particular producer that decides he wants to dump. In terms of our experience, it's a conscious decision. It's not something that happens, especially the bigger producers. It's not like I don't know that this is what's happening. And in principle, like Sabrina was saying, there's nothing wrong with dumping. As long as you do it in volumes that does not cause injury. What an American companies in a lot of instances do, and the soda has been a fight that has been ongoing for at least the last 20 years. They want to obviously force the closure of a domestic producer. There is only one, and there is only one in the whole of Africa. Because as soon as they can close that producer down, obviously they can increase their price. So there's huge demand for this product in Africa, but they can increase their prices when they have producer.
That's
not for the issue.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to get the same understanding, but in a context of the past. The development of Africa, and I wanted to understand the capacity issue of Botswana. What do you mean when you say Botswana doesn't have the capacity that relates to the demand? And is it a capacity in relation to productivity levels, or is it a capacity that relates to shortage of the raw material? Because solutions to that in terms of commercial trade would be different based on the understanding of what we want and what we want.
Just on that question, Botswana does, the Ahambane Potash does have the capacity of unsalable. I'm never going to say unsalable. The company does have the capacity to supply within SACO. There have been problems of quality that were raised by one of the South African users, Consul, the manufacturer of glass, but that has been addressed within the two, the Botswana government and Consul. And so they don't have the problem of supplying the market. The problem they have been having is having to compete with imports. As Karina was saying, maybe Honorable Marley, what's wrong with
planning board, not that the property is quite less, but you are planning with the partner, what role of that? And Karina was saying it's not necessarily a walk, but when it causes trigger in another market, then that country is entitled to act. And we find it mostly in capital intensive sectors, where maybe you have to run your plant 24 hours, you can't switch it on and off, and you produce this surplus. Instead of stocking up this surplus, you've got to find markets globally. And in searching for markets globally, you must compete on price. You sell the product at a higher price in the domestic market, and then globally to other markets you export at lower prices. It's about profit making. Now, the other questions, Chair, that you raised with regards to our turnaround times,
including your monopoly on a particular product. Because if Botswana was the only supplier, then there's a competition, but that competition is not fair because it's coming in at a cheaper rate. So now the US would want to acknowledge the monopoly by dumping products into the country. So it has many problems.
On some of the questions that have been raised, you asked us if we were having sufficient resources for the amount of work that we have. There have been increasing demands on us, especially starting from the financial crisis, in terms of the turnaround times that we have to meet while sustaining the quality that we have to sustain. We're also doing investigation for SAFU, doing technical advice to the GCI trade negotiations. The number of applications are also increasing due to input cost pressures domestically and the weak global economy, which has an effect of reducing the demand for our goods. We have made a submission to the Department of Economic Development for our organizational development. It's a matter that is before the department. Fortunately, we have our colleagues from EDC. I don't know if they will be allowed to express themselves on this matter. The position of the Deputy Chief Commissioner was advertised, interviews were held. I'm informed it's at an advanced stage in terms of the process. There are other issues here you've raised with regards to the numbers in the procedure. Those are numbers of days it takes from one step to the other. It's the number of days. From receipt of an application to a properly documented application and throughout the whole process, it's the number of days it takes. With our instruments, most of the time we react to applications from industry. We can first initiate with regards to ordinary customs duties. We have done so after an industrial quality process that pointed to various factors that ICEF had to review. So we did first initiate without applications from industry. It has happened once, and it came as a result of the industrial policy action plan. The products we were reviewing tariffs on are the upstream, the capital intensive, resource based, and mature industries
like the primary chemicals, for example, the some of the metals, aluminium and steel, and some of the cement and textiles that are no longer produced domestically. And so we reduce those habits and reduce uses without receiving appreciation from industry. What we are doing now, whenever we give support to an industry, to increase tariffs, we have built-in reviews. And so after 3 to 5 years, we will do self-initiated reviews to gauge the performance of that particular industry that was supported against the set objectives, increasing production, investment, and loss. We also do impact studies.
I agree with you that the rest in your next meeting or process of follow up, you just send us an impact analysis result so that we can be able then to measure your actions against the impact you are making in the market. Okay. Would that be for both domestically and in a circle? Or is it only in relation to domestic?
It would be domestic. Honorable Chair, with regards to trade remedies, the difficulty with trade remedies is it's an area that is highly regulated and heavy rules. For us to self-initiate, it would mean we would need to have all the production, financial, and trade information that resides with the industry, the companies in that industry, that we would be basically alleging that there is dumping and they are being injured by dumping, which is very difficult. And it could also place us in a difficult position where in these trade remedies investigations, we've got to conduct them in a manner that is impartial in terms of the various interest groups. But there is scope within Paris for us to start initiate. In trade remedies, it wouldn't be practical. The reason here we place our initiations and preliminary findings in the government gazette is so that interested parties that would be affected by the measure are given an opportunity to defend their interest. And in balancing the interest, we may end up with lesser duties, appropriate duties than what would have been applied for by a domestic producer. The role of consumers, yes, we rarely get comments from consumers, but as I was saying, with regards to the agricultural products, we've got to do the balancing act, profitability of farmers, and the price raising effect on food, especially basic foodstuffs. The relationship that we have with the Competition Commission, we are working on a memorandum of understanding. Where we have identified areas of cooperation. In the main, what the Competition Commission would assist us where they have the capacity is on the price index. It's not a capacity but abundant item. And so we have an agreement with them to help us with the price index whenever there is a proposed or possible increase of tariffs. But the two institutions are different, dealing with different problems and using different instruments. So there's limited scope for cooperation.
Thanks, Dr. I think there might be follow-up. Remember, there's an opportunity. Yeah. Just before you mention, there's a question that was not answered about the Mbaka. I think you need to respond to that.
Honorable Mbaka, yes, you had a question on what you referred to as the manipulation of steel prices in the build up to the World Cup, the infrastructure program. As you might be aware, this has been a case that has been handled by the competition commission, which then falls outside our scope. But what we did at ITEC with regards to primary metals, because the domestic producers basically use what is termed as import parity pricing, which then results in downstream users not accessing these primary metals at internationally competitive prices, we know what they reduce to zero. That's what we did with regards to the primary metals and cooking skills. Thank you.
When was the loan?
It was quite some time there, and aluminium was recent. Yeah, it was quite some time there. Yeah.
Talking about tests of particular relevance to ITEC that have been prioritized for job creation. You are mentioning the green economy as one of those. What I would want to understand is the relationship between ITEC and the Department of Energy in relation to control of import, particularly of solar energy equipment and those things that are I want to be very, very specific. There is what is called a high pressure solar heat. This is commonly manufactured in South Africa. And the low pressure solar heat. That is not common in terms of manufacturing in South Africa. Most of the parts of the low solar, low pressure solar diesel are not manufactured in South Africa. And that commodity is as a job driver. And as a committee, the portfolio committee for small business development, with an interest in opening job opportunities, not necessarily only on manufacturing, but down the stream to a level of maintenance and a level of installation. We then find that the specification, tenor specification of the department, would favor the most pressure diesel that is not necessarily manufactured, commonly manufactured in South Africa. Instead of opposed to the high pressure solar heat, which then means that there are two types of monopoly, if one is the same. It's a monopoly that favors a few manufacturers in South Africa who demand for low pressure diesel, and also favors the importers of the low solar diesel, resulting with the high pressure diesel manufacturing that had been South Africa in Mashinaga, and also resulting with inability to meet the rolled out target set by government. Because then the product, the demand becomes more than the supply. The question that is, where do you come in that situation and what role do you play in that situation? The additional one is on the cheating again. I just want to understand the changes that you talk about of the adoption of the importer as the cheating industry in South Africa. And I'm saying also consumer protection. Talking about the price war, there is also an issue of competition. And there is also an issue of development. And then the role of that becomes a priority in terms of ITER and in terms of the Department of Agriculture in one contemplation of the association of these importers and creating a balance in relation to job creation, poverty reduction, and profit.
Chairperson, first of all, just some of my questions in the business concept. The one where I inquired about collaboration with BRICS in terms of determining certain tariffs or allowing certain products. That was an answer. The other one that was not answered is the achievements in terms of the targets, the CSS targets, the number of targets. That has not been answered. The other one, Madam Chair, is about SARCU, it was very vaguely answered, and not to the extent that I've asked the question. We know what happened, what was reported in the past, that imports through our harbors go into SARCU, duty free. And then there's free trade between SARCU countries and South Africa, which means that they achieve a product coming from other countries into South Africa, which actually enters through our ports, and that can contribute to unfair competition within SARCU. And I think that has been reported in the past, also about clothing and other imports that was identified and reported that say that was not responsible.
Clothing, that might go via Zimbabwe.
Of Zimbabwe, or the Sutu of Swaziland, or Botswana.
The main destination is South Africa, but because of the barriers that we put in place, the various barriers that are related to tariffs or whatever, they then sort of short circuit and put it through a neighbor country. That's the question that.
Yes, and how we are dealing with that, because, I mean, first of all, we are losing duties, but we're also losing competitiveness. That was the one, and then was this the last one,
As I think that was again to scat maple. And that is not the first time that we've talked about scat maple and the duties of the scat maple. The commissioner will rather that has been done before Parliament as well. When they have said that, you know, when it's a major problem in South Africa. And we don't see really it being slowed down. So certainly IPEC has got a role to play. It is sort of the different government departments. This has been identified as a crime problem. So obviously they can't in a way say, doesn't matter to us. They will have to take cognizance of where you set it. How and where can you go and identify and impose certain tariffs? Because there's also protection in South Africa. The same applies to cigarettes. Now, I'm not a smoker, but when you read the reports, if that is correct, that it seems like the trade in countervailed or fraudulent transactions, cross-border transactions for cigarettes, is bigger than the industry in South Africa that plays duty. Now certainly this must be not just an orange flag, it must be a huge red flag. Because we're losing competitiveness and we're losing revenue. And this can only be done by tariffs and the imposing of tariffs. And that is my concern, if you don't see wonderful idea, but eventually there's a problem on how do you close the gap.
So when we did an oversight around Limpopo, that's where we also found that kind of a problem, the Limpopo border case. We reported about that, and it did challenge. I think Mr. Marek brings as a challenge, not only that, but also the one that I mentioned, especially what we should not do. So I think because of the Korea issue, okay? I think we need to reform the sense of progress. The cost of production, the cost of poverty. I'm going to explain what I mean. I have two bottles here. These bottles cost $1.50, a bottle of water. $1.50, and this one cost $1. And I need to divide on the terms, on the basis of the location of the producer and the impact that production makes in producer's over. Or I had to make my decision in terms of the profit that could be made. This one is $1.50 because it is produced in an underdeveloped area and people will reduce dependence of higher expenditure for housing, which has come from other things. Grants, health, and government. This side, it is produced in an underdeveloped area. It does not have, that investment does not have any impact on social issues and poverty. What then informs a structure that has designed on trade terms in order to ensure that there is fair competition between the two?
I think that's the role of the WTO. method that I've brought before it. It is objective, it is driven by certain issues. I think that is what basis is meant to say. What drives the decision on the method that I've brought before the WTO.
Thanks, Karina, you approached me with the question of how we have done in terms of the target for trade remedies, as well as the problem of the movement of goods within Sarko. That would be a thing for the other members, but finally are we in the South African market? Let me start with the question you raised on our debate. The outstanding application criteria that we use on IDEC, and the transparency is known by all interested parties. And that application criteria has various production, financial, and trade factors that we look at. And so we will look at import trends, let's say, to consider increasing a tariff on gasoline. We will look at import trends on gasoline, the investment in the domestic industry, employment, profitability, whether the price disadvantage between our producers and the landed cost of imports. We would look at production, market share, sales volume, and look at the price impact. Now, if you look at that criteria, it does have a developmental dimension in the sense that we want to be sensitive to employment whenever we consider applications for tariff adjustment. So if we increase the tariff, a particular industry, amongst others, we would want that industry to retain the jobs that it has and possibly over time create more jobs. And that has a direct impact on poverty. So there is a developmental dimension in terms of the criteria that we use to adjudicate the application. Again, coming to the example of a food product. Then the overriding goal is food security, availability and affordability. So we've got to balance the interests of business as well as those of consumers, in particular the poor. And so we will find an appropriate level of tariff, which will not be necessarily what the domestic producer has applied for. The association of these importers has been against the increase in import tariffs. We firstly conducted the ordinary customs duty investigation last year, and we imposed what we consider to be appropriate tariffs on the various chicken meat types. They were against us. But because we have an agreement with the EU, those tariffs cannot apply to the EU, the ordinary customs duty. But in terms of the WTO agreement, our domestic industry can apply for trade remedies, and they did apply for anti-dumping duties against imports of chicken, washing from the Netherlands, the UK, and Germany. And we've recently imposed provisional duties on imports from those countries. Again, the imports are agreeing to us, because what we could do is going to risk the price of imports. And then that has an obvious effect of negative impact on the profit. And our team in these investigations in the value chain, the outcome is such that we lose our business. But then you've got to make us tough business.
Thank you, Chief. So in terms of the solid for the whole financial year, all the third resolutions we engaged in Sudan within 6 months in Zealand will be in the final. what we normally would face and then see the problem in previous financial years and again in the current year would might also be. It really depends on the participation in the investigation. So if you have, for example, like the chicken tax that we just done, the Freedom Decision on, there are three countries and there were 9 exporters that participate. So all information that these exporters provide has to be verified. So we send investigators to the different countries. They verify the information and do the calculations. So in instances where we exceed those size ranges, it's really more a question of increased participation by parties. In some instances, there are requests for extension of time, which in terms of administrative justice, we have put out, or for oral presentations before the session. We've all had instances where there's been four challenges. In the interview we did on the chickens, there was a challenge investigation. So obviously that also takes time. But I think in general we've been very well with the time frame. There was one question on BRICS. We don't participate or coordinate with these countries in terms of tariff setting or in terms of investigations that we do. But what we do with them is we do technical exchanges. So we have a lot of cooperation in terms of the countries that we use, the methodology that we use. We have on a yearly basis at least discussions with the Chinese government Chinese counterpart of us and with the Brazilian counterpart. So we have a lot of technical exchanges on methodology and balance range and so on, but not on actual tariff setting or calculation of duties in particular investigation. Shoku is probably a longer discussion. I think if you accept that we regard Shoku as a common market, in other words, they free movement of goods, then a lot of emphasis is placed on the method that such users, persons in other authorities, use it to make sure that the goods are coming in at the right prices, paying the right taxes, paying the right duties. The chair was asking about our relationship, I think relationship with persons, which is obviously very important. We can do the investigations and calculate the duties, but the relation that the actual enforcement is done by customs authorities. So it's very important that the customs authorities actually participate with the administrative authorities. I mean, it's one day how much if we calculate the duty and go through a 12-month process, but it's not collected at the border. And there are problems. I mean, we cooperate very well with SARS. We have a good relationship with them. But I mean, there are hundreds of borders. And things, unfortunately, happen. So it's not good enough. There's a lot of room for improvement. It happens.
You know, my issue is, if one, you know, mention this challenge that you have, what? Well, this method involves, you know, the country. You cannot then withhold such level of police, but it's important that this relationship is kept at all times. The reason why the relationship must be kept is for the purpose of also guarding each other. So if you don't do that, you are not going to know what the reference is doing while you are sitting at the right. So it's important that while you push it, regulating on the other methods, the international has to ensure that the debt collection. But at the end of the day, if that's not done, will be expected then to take from the revenue fund and give back to the countries that really don't invest that, you know, sometimes. And when you look at the level of collection, this will be the level of income, I mean, the money that is supposed to be going out as either a grant or a subsidy, they don't match. So that's my one. And
we all know how our friendships look like. So it's very important that we help each other. That's why the relationship is, you can't sit and say, I'm doing my best, and therefore, I don't know, and I really can't interfere in somebody else's. So that's the government way. So if you ask your task, that's the person of doing, in total, if there's a challenge in ensuring that the work that you are doing is completely done, then mention, give us informed, so that can help you then to look up where there are any barriers. That's the role of this department anyway, we were not direct. One of our roles is to ensure that we open where there are locations. Not only in infrastructure, but also in the coordination of the department. So that makes it difficult for us to open up. It's why it's important that you concretize relationship with the competition authorities, the customs, the police, because only by going to this border we were able to unblock certain issues or to raise certain issues. I'm sorry, I'm still wanting to explain you about the issue related to the involvement of ordinary people in matters of access. It cannot be that you put something on this and you expect people to participate when they don't, they are not educated about the issues that you know, competition, no, our work is just too complicated. It involves experts and all that is oriented kind of work. I think we thought that we could go on a awareness campaign. I think you also watch the types of reporting on the TV, they were reporting on your calls on radio, something, and they were talking about the work that they are doing. And ordinary people are beginning now to understand the type of work that they are doing. People, if they actually are like, they can't participate unless they understand what they do. If you don't make them, you know, aware and make them understand of who you are, what you're doing, and where can they fit in as a public, people will never ever know, so they forever think that this is just for the elite, you know, those experts and so forth. That's the demystified issue that the businessmen only do for the business. Consumers are also buyers of, they buy this product. Whether it's out of an act of dumping, or out of an act of whatever, the first of the matter is they direct to the business. Whether they supply from big companies, at the end of the day, they have to make the decision, or the ultimate buyer of that product is an ordinary person. That's why I like it in the way that you use it. It's a simple way. Because sometimes we use this way that it's difficult for people to associate with. You know, instead of saying a voice of water, we're talking of the polymer, you know, or the plastic, the process of making that plastic, we can give that to the experts. But if the ultimate product is the bottle of water, tell people that these are the products that you can ultimately, that product, which product is nice with whatever scientific, we are not scientists yet, the ultimate product is water. And people will begin to interest in the name so that they can understand the need to participate. I'm just pledging this. Yeah. In summary, it's important to get the impact because we are very interested in impact-driven, you know, like we need to see the outcome of what we do, impacting directly. And so that when we request that you give an additional money for your organizational structure development, we know that it is going to the policies and policies to be each other.
all the instruments that you are applying. I think that's very important. I can't touch more on your relationship with other stakeholders that are related to your work. Very important. Colleagues, like we did last time, I think it's important that we also organize workshops around the role of WTO, but also not only that, we might be asking a company, any institution dealing with trade issues to come and give us a workshop so that we can be get familiar to the, you know, the ways that are being used. We must know that when we talk about free trade agreements, what are we talking about? When we talk about double taxation agreement, what are we talking about in the free trade concern? All the big words that have been spoken of, we can't avoid them being on the committee. We have to talk to them. So it is important that we organize that. I'm talking here, the support staff is here, they're listening, and I think that will be the next. Last time Trilex did a very good job. I think the event on task for 3 days on it. And I think we as the different institutions could engage for that. Sometimes we ask the same institution like IPEC to come and just bring us some programming. They are able then to give us that. Or we just give them topics we want to discuss. But anyway, working with people who are directly working with all these areas that you are talking about, the tools that they are using, I think we can still ask them to come and assist us on that. The same applies to competition authority. We can also get an expert on competition issues. They come and see us on that. While I'm interested, I must be asked to do that. They do have a job. I don't know whether I'm asking anyway, you have anything to say just before you end. That's it. That's a sign of because I know you can do the first time for us and we're creating really opportunity for you. Okay, as is one of the open, it's fine. I had. Just maybe about one and I forgot. So type of name I get for me. Okay. Can I give an opportunity to say about this? About the event?
Sure, I don't have anything more just to thank you for the invitation.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. Engage with our stakeholders because through engagement we get more exposure and, you know, more educated because we then have thank you for sharing the information and being as open as possible where it's kind of like to open up more, we need more information where we can help, like yeah, not to decide or to, you know, pinpoint to wrong doing. We are here to be a partner. We are here to help you to do things better. All what we need is serving our people. You are in that, you are moving from the direction of an institution, you are moving from another institution. So don't take this as something that is really going to give you a headache. We are not here to give you a headache, we are here to see that headache by collaborating with you. Thank you very much and for the cooperation. We will await the recommendation. Members, we also would like to thank you for your attendance, especially members from the Small Business Development. Thank you for not just being spectators but being active participants in the meeting. Through your questions, we were able to be wiser. And I hope that we continue this relationship even after the discussion. Thank you very much, members of the Economic Development Committee. We are arranging meetings. maybe also to consider the ICC presentation. Yes, we finalize in the House Chair, and we don't know which slot is going to be, but we'll come to you. Or you can do the advocacy from that one. Or you can do the action. Thursday and Friday are full of people. We were told, all of us, to create, remember during the workshop, the online workshop, we were told to be a Friday, Thursday and Friday, and still full of people. So please, if we are called on Thursday afternoon, let's come in, especially that we have to adopt. We need a call.